Hello everyone, this is In The Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. Ahead of a monstrous week of horse racing, Friday, have Saturday and Sunday off, through till Friday, we'll be with you for Goodwood and maybe a bit of Galway next week. But first, an absolute humdinger of a King George at Ascot. Can Calandagan land the spoils again? Is going to be the headline, if I did the headline for the Racing Post, which I don't because it won't fit on the page. Or will Masquerade Ball spoil the party? There you go. It's not as easy as it looks, this speaking game. But it is an absolute crackerjack of a lineup. We'll go through the rest of the runners because pretty much, apart from Action, who is also a group horse in his own right, but won't be running for that angle tomorrow. Everything else is genuine. He got a little bit of a chance of landing the spoil. So that should be pretty fun indeed. And we've got a good supporting card as well. We'll be testing all sorts of Royal Ascot juvenile form in the Princess Margaret Stakes. And we've got your Masquerade Balls and that kind of thing over at Ascot. And then we've got a group two over at York where the horse with all that group one form isn't even favourite. There's an unexpected item in the Balding area. At the top of the betting in the York Stakes as well. It is a really good Saturday, and like I said, it's just the mouth-watering tempter ahead of next week as well, which is good, because I don't know about you, I've found the last couple of weeks of racing quite depressing. So it's good to be back with some good stuff. Get in touch on the chat, like and subscribe if you haven't done so already, and if anyone knows how to fix the machine that drags the graphics through from the screen out there where I can see them onto the screen where you can see them, give us a shout, because look, this newfangled, wonderful world of live streaming is fantastic, but there are about 1,000 things that can go wrong. But hey, it's not going to stop the show, and it's not going to stop Robbie Wilders giving us some damn good opinions.
Yeah, let's hope so, mate. I remember the last time we were on Royal Ascot, we had issues, didn't we, of IT orchestrating that shutdown.
They did, yeah. It's not as bad as them turning the internet off.
Yeah, that was just crazy from IT. Sandeep, if you're watching, mate, you've let us down there.
Yeah, you really, whether it's his...
I don't know if it's his
tonight,
fault,
but
let's
blame him tonight.
It's over now. We're going to get the graphics up, believe it. Keep the faith.
Yeah, we'll get there. Last couple of weeks, I mean, look, we had Super Saturday, and then every day since then, I've logged on to go through the racing and thought, why am I even bothering? Yeah. Even last Saturday was a bit...
Why would you ever have a two-year-old sales race where the best horses could probably going to be rated about 100? And not really going to go on to do anything as the best race of the day.
Yeah, it was a little bit strange. And then every other day, I guess, look, there's been a lot of... it's a really big sort of 7, 8, 9 days of racing. And then that continues through to August. And obviously with your... August is a bit mad. So we need a bit of a downtime.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Has that refreshed you? Are you ready for
tomorrow? Yeah, definitely. I think you need time for that. I always deliberately plan my holidays in between these big meetings.
Yeah.
So I've come back with a new lease of life sort of thing. Because after Royal Ascot, you are just knackered, aren't you?
Yeah, you get a bit of, I've said it before, I think I get form blindness. Look down races and my brain just goes, no, it's too much to take in.
Too much to take in.
But tomorrow, I quite like the look of tomorrow. And the King George has not let us down.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember a better King George. How many years have I been watching racing now? 15 years, not as long as many. But I can't remember a better one. Can you? In the last 15 years.
I don't know. I tend to struggle with that sort of stuff a little bit. I tend to forward thinking. I have to go dig into that. But
we're punters, so we're looking to predict the future, not
we are
look back on the past. I don't get sentimental about great winners and stuff like that. Like, give me the next winner.
You're only as good as your last winner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you have to find your next winner.
Because indeed, yeah.
That's what they say. So, Tom Siegel, have we seen a King George as good as this since Robbie was legally allowed to watch horse racing?
I've seen about 20 better ones, but not probably since Robbie was watching racing, no. When I was growing up, the King George was the race. We didn't, the Ark was nothing. No, it wasn't even on telly, the Ark, when I was growing up. You know what, you couldn't even see it. You had to wait for teletext to give the results up. That's one, tells you how old I am, but two, it tells you what British trainers used to do. Like, all the Derby winners ran in the King George. Shergar, Troy, Generous, all of them. Just dancing brave. You just go through the lot of them. They always turn up in reference point. They all turned up in the King George. None of them, or some of them, went to the Ark, but it was always sort of a end of season thing for them. So when I was growing up, the King George was the race of the season every season. it's sort of lost its way. But I think this year it's back. It's an absolutely tremendous race, isn't it? As good as I've seen, as I say, for 15 years. But more worried about what Robbie's wearing and what he's doing with that tennis ball. Yeah. And what he's going to do with that tennis ball. If you don't behave yourself, Ross, you're getting one right on the chops.
No, it's a stress ball, mate. I mean, I don't get stressed too often, but it's more just something to fiddle with.
You get stressed during this show.
They were literally everyone's got them around the office. Like, I'm sure they've got them in the gallery right now. What's wrong with the 1976 Chelsea jersey, Tom?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the team, isn't it?
Nah, this is, it's a team on the up, mate. We've nicked Arsenal's biggest target from their noses. And
at this rate, Tom, given Chelsea are going to end up signing Robbie, they're literally spending money on anyone who can put one foot in front of the other. So
how are they allowed to do it?
We sell an awful lot of assets as well.
Yeah, let's not get into that anyway. Let's not get into the murky world
loosely
of Chelsea's finances.
Loosely described assets, I would say.
Yeah, but distressed assets. Tom. We've got a big week ahead of us, of course. It's been a fairly lively week newsworthy wise, though, as well. I mean, again, who'd be a jockey, eh, Tom? I mean, David Egan's apparently fired, resigned, but no, he's still back in the fold. You know, Ross O'Ryan had a bit of a brain fart yesterday at Sandown. That didn't end very well.
That was desperate, wasn't it? 28 days. Isn't that a lot, though? It's a month. A month off work for a split-second misdemeanor and getting beaten in the nose. Seems an awful lot.
I mean, how many bad tips have we given out over the years? We didn't get punished, do we?
I've not given any, Robbie.
So
obviously Mr. Jennings has written in the paper that anyone who thinks 28 days is too long is part of the problem. So Tom, you are part of the problem.
He's slagging us all off.
Yeah, basically, yeah. He said
you're
all wrong.
David, let's hear it. Let's have it out.
He said you're all wrong if you think 28 days is too long.
What do you guys think is the right sanction for that?
Look, well, the problem is it is kind of a... I'm trying to think of... There's not many other examples. It's not like you're putting in a bad tip or whatever. It's like you, I don't know, at the end of the day when they're about to file the paper, you just kind of are deleting your copy or something.
Insert a mistake at the last minute.
Driving down the motorway and you suddenly, you know, pull out and you don't realise you've got a little blind spot they don't see and you switch back in, that's an error, can cause problems and sort of stuff. That's all he did, wasn't it? He eased down for one millisecond and got caught by a real flying finisher. I mean, it just seems an awful lot to me for that.
It's a tough one because he's down. I mean, I don't think he's down for a millisecond because I was doing a commentary shift and I was commentating on it and I thought and I said at the time, oh, he's you know, he's taking it easy and oh, he might have been caught here. And it was one of those things where he'd ridden the perfect race. I just don't understand. Look, the 28 days obviously isn't a deterrent because you're not thinking in that moment, oh, I've ridden the perfect race here, but I better push his horse out to the line or I might get banned for a month. That's not how your brain works, is it? In the same way that if you go through a speed camera, you don't think about, you know, you're thinking, oh, I'm running a bit late. I'm gonna go through this red light at the last second or whatever. I'll push it. I'll push my luck and then you get flashed or whatever it is. You're not thinking about the deterrent at the time. So I think I kind of agree with you in the sense of, you should get a strong punishment for it, but at the same time, you could have a 6-month ban, and is that going to enter a jockey's mind in that moment?
It's not going to make a difference because they're not thinking like that. I mean, it's just literally for 1 second, you're going whatever 35 miles an hour, you're pushing along, you look up, you think you're clear, you stop for a split second, and you're done on the line. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, 28 days is. Just seems an awful lot to me. A month off.
I'd also like to say, Tommy Daniels as well, he said, Tommy Daniels in the chat, he says, Ross O'Ryan made a terrible mistake, but he was trying to win. I want to see them coming down harder on the blatant non-triers we see all the time.
Correct.
That's a fair point, actually. You get 28 days for making that side of mistake. I could show you one a day that I think deserves 28 days or more, Tom.
I completely agree with you. And also, not only that, incompetent rides. Yeah. I mean, what about those guys that charge off at a million miles an hour in those races and come last? That's much worse, isn't it?
You mean Ballydoyle pacemakers?
Well, them as well, but everyone knows them. But when you got say two or three front runners and the nutters go off at a million miles an hour and finish last, the three of them, You know, those are, you literally have no chance. He was at least trying to win. And if his head had been up and the horse had, other ones had been down, he would have won. It was just, that's another thing that really annoys me. If he'd won, nothing would have been said.
Yeah.
Because he got beaten by a pixel, he gets 28
days. It's because he's cost some punters money, isn't it? That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what would you give him, like, 2 weeks or a week? Or like,
I'd give him 2 weeks, 14
yeah,
days.
2 weeks seems fine, doesn't it?
A couple of weeks in Tenerife, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, know. Like, he can go on holiday at least.
I really don't know, because to me, it is a very strange thing. I mean, the rules of racing are bizarre anyway. The way that, you know, the punishments don't fit crimes in this sport in any way, shape or form. Mm. And a lot of the stuff is, a lot of the rules are open to interpretation, and then some of them are incredibly strict. Like, well, if you do that, you get banned for 28 days. But if you do that, well, you talk to three blokes and they might be different on the day, and then it might be different depending on what, you know, whether it's the last race. Or there's a lot of weird rules in racing. And I guess that seems the harshest. Some of them, yeah, if you come down on the right side of it, it's like an automatic, well, you're screwed, mate, basically. And a lot of them seem to be dependent on time, day kind of race. It is a bit odd.
Yeah, it's like they apply that number out of thin air almost, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was talking about, is it similar? I mean, it's not just racing, is it? I was talking about this in watching a World Cup match the other day, and we're talking about how, you know, referee will be like, oh, that's your third foul, I'll book you after the next one. Mm. But then some referees will book you after one foul, some will be after three. And you think, there should be certain things that are written in the rules where you know exactly what you get if you get it wrong. So at least there's that. You drop
Couldn't
your
agree
hands.
More, Ross. Couldn't agree more. Watching the World Cup, they do, some bloke, that Argentinian lad, Paredes, does about five fouls on the trot. Or what was the game? Paraguay versus France.
Yeah, that was crazy, yeah. That.
It's absolutely crazy. They were fouling and fouling and fouling. The Frenchman does one foul, he's booked.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because he's gone, right, if the next one will get it. But that's, you know what I mean? The guy's done five.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, I enjoyed that chat. Jim Stan says the ban will be over by the time you finish talking about it. Which,
true.
Which is a funny comment, Jim. So at least we managed to drag that out of you. Anyway, I enjoyed that. Like I said, we've got some really good races tomorrow. We haven't got a huge sway of them. It's not mad super Saturday, so we've got time to pick and choose and go through them with a fine-tooth comb. So let's start doing that, shall we? And let's start off at Ascot with the 145. Again, my brain was there, was waiting for the graphics to come through so I could read you the prices, but I'll do it off my screen instead. We've got the Princess Margaret coming up at 145, 6 furlongs for the 2-year-old fillies. Dark Issue is 11-4, Alta Regina 3-1, 13-2 Moonrise, 9-1 D's Funny Girl, and 10-1 Velocity, 12-1 and bigger the rest then at Ascot for the Princess Margaret. And again, we get to test loads of form lines. We get to test the Queen Mary, we get to test the Albany, we get to test the Windsor Castle. And that's just the first three in the betting. Tom, again, you, like me, like going through the 2-year-old races. And I think it's fair to say that, again, we said at the time how competitive those big field handicaps and, you know, the 2-year-old races, they were huge fields, you know, 25-plus in all those races. It's no surprise to see winners coming out of them. But you've got Dark Issue versus Alta Regina and Moonrise. They're all drawn next to each other as well, 3-1 and 2. Which of those three did you prefer?
Oh, it's hard, Ross, isn't it? There's nothing between them, really, is there? Especially Dark Issue and Alta Regina. We know there's nothing between them, isn't there? Oh, well, they're in different races. I can't remember. There's so many blooming races. But they both ran really well at Royal Ascot. Dark Issue was more eye-catching, probably, because she finished off well. But I'm not sure the race went perfectly for Alta Regina. She was 24, wasn't she, right on the rail? And it's sort of... Victorious was up the other side. It just sort of went and didn't quite fall for her. I think she can run better over 6 furlongs for sure. I'm not... Dee's Funny Girl I didn't really fancy, but then she's moved to Doniker, isn't she? So you could expect some improvement. The one I liked most probably was Moonrise. I just liked her run in the Windsor Castle. I think if you see the result, the winner was 30, whatever. The second was 30. The third was massively drawn high, and so was the fourth. And she was in the middle. She showed a lot of pace and sort of came, but she didn't really quite get over to this side. So I'm not sure if she was running on the best part of the track. So I'd give her a shot, but it's not a race you could make a case for loads. Velozzi ran really well in the Albany as well. She was a bit unlucky, finished well. Harlequin Sky was not far behind Moonrise, having gone round the whole field in the Windsor Castle. Look, maybe Dark Issue is the one, but I found it really hard. I'll leave this to all the boys on the chat to tell me what's going to win this, because I have no real idea.
I quite like the race in the sense of I don't fancy Magnesium, the Can-Can Queen, Glorious Gain, Nuit de Claire, or Harlequin Sky, or Miss Cody particularly. So, No? Have I ruled one out there?
I quite like Miss Cody.
All right. I mean, look, I was impressed with her at at Chepstow. You tell me why she could step up.
Well, it's probably wasn't much of a race. I know there was a 1-3 favourite well beaten, but that horse at least did come out and win since rated 81.
Fourth's won the first race tonight at Chepstow on handicap.
Well, I didn't know that. Good spot, mate. Obviously, just happened. That's a film, little form boost there. It's just like Clive Cox is one of the best trainers around with these juvenile sprinters. It's his only Lava entry. I thought that was quite interesting, suggesting maybe it thinks this is best filly in the sprinting ranks. Got a proper 2-year-old pedigree from the family of pre-morning winner Arcano, I noted. Just thought you can't really have a Clive Cox juvenile at she was sort of 16-1 early. I thought that was a big price about. I expect her to be shorter because we don't really know where we stand with how these Royal Ascot forms are going to pan out. If my gut feeling is the Queen Mary is probably the best race of those three. But I just thought it was worth a flyer at those odds.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And he did obviously win the Norfolk by half the track as well, didn't he, Clive? And he's got very...
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't waste bullets with these 2 years. He doesn't think, you know, I've got three or four and I'll throw them all in. He goes, like you said, that's my one for that race. That's my one for that race.
Yeah, and I just wonder if she might be well above average. I mean, she certainly looked it on her debut.
Yeah, I mean, the time was very good for the
grade.
Yeah,
exactly,
I was quite... Yeah, maybe she has got a squeak, fair enough. I think it's quite a step... I do think the 2-year-olds will have learned so much at Royal Ascot that she's almost... Even if she does improve, she's still slightly behind, maybe.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
But she's a big prize.
Yeah, that was... What it was centred on, really. It's come in a bit, but I thought 16s was bigger about midday.
All right. I mean, I thought my main thing I thought with Dark Issue, though, Tom, I think she's the best horse in the race.
Mm.
But on the dam side, and also the way she ran at Ascot, I couldn't help but think that she wants 7. I mean, she finished off well, but it wasn't like a rattling home from the back. It was a really, you know, going through the gears and finishing off a race. And she just, to me, I watched that and thought, you need 7 furlongs, which might be, I don't know, the Prestige Stakes or something at Goodwood, like the back end of August. I mean, and she might still win this. It's still a stiff 6, of course, but I think she will be better over slightly further.
Yeah, almost certainly she will be, but that doesn't preclude her winning this. I just think they're going to go hard, aren't they? I just thought Moonrise might... I just liked her run. I don't know. I just thought she did a lot early, and the Horse of Joseph's that was sort of fancied went up with her and faded out the back, and the sort of the ones out the back came through, but she stuck at it really well. So I'd give her a shot to sort of make all, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, at the prices, I agree with you, Tom. I wrote the column about everyone getting excited about eye catchers coming from the back, but Ascot suits those horses, so anything that can keep going on the speed. And she kicked on practically a furlong and a half from home and only just got chinned.
Yeah.
I thought it was a big
one. In the middle a bit, wasn't she? She wasn't one of those sort of got the rail and sort of stuck on, was she? She was out in the middle a bit, and I thought she did really well. I was surprised. I didn't fancy her at all that day. I mean, she'd won her maiden, but I don't know. I don't know how good the Windsor Castle was. The winner got lapped, didn't he, in the 3-runner Papin the other day. But I did like the way she ran, and I think she'll give him a good go from the front. And I think they'll just go straight up the middle all day tomorrow at Ascot, so I wouldn't be worried about draws in any race.
I mean, 15th place Celeron won a Group 2 last week, and 20th place Alfred Wallace absolutely dotted up today. So, good winners are fine of it. So I'm with you on Moonrise, and you're with Clive Cox.
I am indeed, but I do respect what you gentlemen are saying on Moonrise.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You talk well, the pair of you.
The Princess Margaret is a nursery cunningly disguised as a Group 3, says King Eric of Cantona. I think that's a little bit harsh.
That's harsh.
King Eric, that's very harsh indeed, I think. Dark Issue romps home, says GSTW Sam 22. That's about it. Right, okay. Let's move on then to the next race. Are we going to York? Because I can't... Yeah, okay, yes. Lovely stuff.
Graphics up now, Ross.
Graphics are working for you.
Exciting times. Me and Ross can't see them, but I'm glad they're everyone.
Would you like me to read the prices out for you?
I can't refresh my screen, Ben. It's on a TV over there.
Well, let me tell you right now, I'm looking on the YouTube screen and those graphics are looking mighty fine. So thank you.
All right, let me give you some prices off the screen, off my laptop then. Red Spells Danger 11-2, Stratus 9-7-1, Addison Gray 7-1, Air Force 1 8-1, 10-1, Pocklington 11-1, Musical Touch. Refresh your stream. It's a big TV over there, man. The Dash at York for the 2 o'clock. 6 furlongs the trip, 22 of them a maximum field, as you would expect. For a York sprint handicap, and Red Spells Danger is his favourite to me, who's been running an absolute couple of blinders. I think he said, was it before the York race, before the Newmarket race, said it would take a good one to beat this horse. He clearly looks like a very progressive sprinter. He's in box 11, which should be fine, again, middle to low, but there are a whole host of potential improvers and course horses in here who could give him something to think about. And, in terms of a lot of the races, I think three-year-olds getting that little bit of weight allowance helps. But sprints, I'm not sure
it's not much
helpful.
In sprints, is it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like...
No, it's more that angle's better in staying races, I would think.
But also, it all happens a bit too fast for a couple of pounds to make that much of a difference, is it?
There's probably
five other things going on in the race that'll hinder you more. What did you make of this?
I really like Stratus 9. Proper York horse. Yeah, well, I like to hear that because Harry Boy's on, Kiehl's is on as well. We were just all kind of aligned on this at the start of the week. Just proper York horse. Ran here 3 times, beaten 38 of the 41 rivals he's faced. Should have won, I thought, on his last start on the Knaves Mile over 5 furlongs. He was fastest through each of the final 3 after getting out a bit too late, finished really quickly. The first and third have gone up £14 and £11 since. It's really solid form. And then he's actually run pretty well his next 2 starts as well. Buckingham Palace, 7 furlongs, stiff 7 at Ascot, probably stretched him. He wasn't beaten too far, to be fair. And then at Chester, he had the widest draw. He had to burn up plenty of petrol early doors. Wasn't beaten far again by the Scurry Handicap second, who's gone up in the weight since. So the form lines all stack up. You can just rely on him at York. I thought he would just be bang there, to be honest.
Yeah, he's one of those. He's also, again, he might. It wouldn't surprise me to see him getting beat short head into second or third or whatever. But he
we
just
don't want to see that.
He just. I mean, I don't want to see it, but no. it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise you, but for he's pretty. He's a place balls really. And when you do one of your place multiples, I'd like to think he'd be in one of those.
Oh, he's an absolute... He's bomb-proof for it, isn't he? He's well-drawn in box 9. Like you said, he's 3 runs at the track. He's finished 2nd on all 3. I mean, he ran a cracker in the Buckingham Palace as well, if you watch it. I mean, he was travelled really well. He switched out to the centre of the track. He challenged in the worst part, essentially, right down the middle, and he kept going all the way to the line. Mm. And I'm not entirely sure... Like I said, I mean, he pulled up at Chester back in May. I'm not sure rattling round... Chester was ideal for him. He was stuck a bit wide as well. He kept on all right. He just doesn't know how to run a bad race, does he?
Yeah, he's reliable. He's going to be the anchor leg in your place multiples, and I can't put you off. If he's going to win a big prize, it should be at York, you'd like to think.
Yeah, and Hugo Palmer continues in good nick as well.
Indeed, and I like James Doyle being on board as well. No complaints for that.
There you go. Tick, tick, tick for Stratus 9. Which sounds like all the great minds, Tom, are agreeing on Stratus 9. This is where you come in as the maximum, ultimate contrarian, to tell us we're all wrong.
I'm telling you, you're wrong, by any stretch of imagination. Not perfectly good chance. He just doesn't win very often, does he?
No.
That's the problem with him. But it always form stacks up, even if you go back to when he won his maiden on the air or wherever it was. He beat Dubai Bling, or was it on the all-weather? He's beaten some good horses all his life, and he's always run into good horses. So I think he's got a perfectly good chance. I much prefer him to Red Spell's Danger. Just at the prices, the two I thought that I might have a few quid on against him were my old pal Apollo 1, who has been running a lot better than his finishing positions would suggest. He finished 12th in the Wokingham last time, but he was one of 2 horses that came up the near side. He ran really well. Before that, he was really well backed in a decent race. I can't remember where it was, and ran fine to finish 3rd. I just thought he's dropped in the handicap now. He's the type of horse that would go well from the front. He is drawn next to Stratus 9, so that will be good for Stratus 9. It'll give him a lead. And the other one was a 3-year-old right down the bottom called, trained by Stephen Hanlon, called
Evening Non. Blues.
That's it. The one that ran at the track the other day. He's best bred horse in the race by a country mile. He's one of Moyglare's studs. He's related to loads of 100 horses. He's been running, he was running over a mile and a quarter and stuff for Gerlines in Ireland. He won a maiden over a mile, I think. He came to Stephen Hanlon, was running over that sort of trip again, dropped him back to 6 furlongs last time, and he ran an absolute stormer. He was well clear with a couple of furlongs to go. A horse called Hallow Space Boy picked him up, but Hallow Space Boy, unreliably formed, is one of the best handicapped horses in Ed Walker's yard. He was backed into even money that day. They were 4 lengths clear of the rest. Now, I don't know if York's where the place is going to be in York, but every time I watch York, I want to be on the far side. He's in stall one. He might just get the lead. And look, this is a better race. Stratsu 9 and the boys might pick him up, but I thought at 16 to 1, he might run well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Form's looks pretty. Yeah, time is good. I think the Mr. Noble, who finished third in that, might run well later on the card as well. But Von Trotter and Logie Bear have come out and finished second in half decent races this week as well. So, so Evening Blues. And what was your first one? Sorry,
Just the Old Boy Apollo 1. I just like him. He's just dropped down to a good mark. He's not really my type of horse, and he's never really done it at York. But he's incredibly well handicapped, and he hasn't run a bad race this season. He sort of looks like the one. It looks like a. I mean, last year he was touched off in the Doncaster race to Portland, wasn't he? Off a mark in the hundreds. Now he's rated 94, 90, something like that. Yeah, he's just got a handicapping chance. I don't know if he's quite as good as he was, but this is his best chance this season, that's for sure. I mean, he started, I think it was 6-1 for the handicap on Epsom on Derby Day in that heavy ground that he wouldn't have liked. People think he's still got his ability, clearly, by the way he's been backed on a few occasions. I thought he might go well at a big price.
All right. There you go. A couple against the field then at York for the Dash, the 2 o'clock contest. Right, moving on then to our next contest over at Ascot. We've got more fillies and mares lining up here for the Valiant Stakes, Group 3 over a mile. And the question here is, are you going to go with one of the most controversial slash unlucky slash insert descriptor here horses of Royal Ascot in the shape of Tulene, or do these things never work out that way? Tulene's going to be a fairly short price here then at around 4-5 for the Valiant Stakes. 4-1 Contiki, Skydance 9-1, 11-1 Pina Sonata, and 18-1 bar those. Quite a rarity this, Tom, isn't it? I think for a 3-year-old off the back of placing in a Group 1 to drop so strongly back down in grade and line up for this race. It's normally either your horse is stepping up or coming out of the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, that sort of thing. So it's interesting that after they've been so vocal about, like, basically we could have, should have, would have won that Group 1, that they've gone, well, let's go Group 3 next time.
Yeah, it reminds, do you remember Mo Hatter, the horse that won the Sussex Stakes? He was desperately unlucky at Royal Ascot in the Queen Anne, then came back to Ascot for the Summer Mile, hacked up, went down in grade for the Summer Mile, hacked up in that, and then won on the Sussex Stakes. I wonder if the Shadwell team are thinking along the same lines, get a bit of confidence back in her and you know, then take her up to Group 1 later in the season. That seems what they're trying to do. I didn't think she was... I thought she was unlucky, but I'm not convinced she would have won. I don't know. Looks plenty short enough for me. I think there's a few in there against her. I mean, to start with, the older fillies have been bashing up the three-year-old filly so far this season. They did it in the Pretty Polly. I think they had the first three home with the Oaks winner in fourth. They did it in the Falmouth. Blue Bolt beat Precise, who'd beaten Tulene. I thought Contiki had a perfectly good chance myself. Bumped into Blue Bolt at the start of the season when she was too keen at Goodwood and ran a cracker. And then last time, just, it was another one of those Ascot races. She was drawn out wide. She was a bit keen, never really got into it. Wasn't beaten far, once again by Blue Bolt. I think that gives her a reasonable shot of beating Tulene. I think she's more straightforward. And I'd also throw in Skydance, who actually beat Thundering on her debut. I don't know why she's been off. That's the thing that puts me off. But you wouldn't come to Ascot and put O'Sheen Murphy up if you thought that things weren't going to, you know, if she wasn't absolutely flying at the gallop. So I give her a chance. She's by Knight of Thunder, which I always like. And so I think Tulene's probably the one, but I think Contiki has a shot of beating her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, she's a horse. I think it's almost like Last Chance Saloon for me for Contiki a bit, because she was unlucky at last year's Royal Ascot. And we both, me and Tom, backed her at Goodwood, and all the way down the home straight, I thought she's going to win this. Mm. And then, you know, in hindsight, no chance.
Yeah.
With Blue Bolt coming up against her. Yeah, and she just got... Friendly Soul was the obvious eye-catcher in that race, but Contiki got stopped in a run two or three times as they turned for home, and that just halted her momentum.
Yeah, I think she showed enough to suggest she's still in good form. I just think the Duke of Cambridge was a much better race than the Coronation. That was my way into this. She's been my biggest bet of the weekend, to be honest, Contiki each way at the start of the week. I think she's solid in this company. We saw what Blue Bolt obviously did to Precise. I know Tudin was unlucky in all this, but I just don't think it was a great Coronation at all. I think she's being overrated. Contiki is just as unexposed as well. They've both only run six times. There's every chance we haven't quite seen her best. She did make a bit of a race of it with Blue Bolt, I thought, Goodwood. I mean, she gave you a good run for your money.
I honestly thought, until the final furlong, one of those ones where you're watching the horse you've backed and you think she's going to win this, and then you go, oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. She must have traded fairly short in running.
She did.
But this, she's ridden much more prominently at Goodwood. I think I could see more being positive here, and it's obviously an eye-catching booking, more being on. I think she'll give the favourite an awful lot to think about.
Okay. The main thing I'm concerned about, Tom,
yeah,
is Jane Chappell Hyams had four runners in the past 10 days. A 5-4 favourite at Wolverhampton, beaten six lengths, ran £18 below par. A 6-4 favourite at Nottingham, beaten eight lengths, ran £19 below par. A 15-2 shot at Newmarket finished last, beating eight lengths, £23 below par. And then a horse that they were mad confident on today in the first race at Ascot, Ashtree, smashed into 9-4, went out like a light, beaten nine lengths, only beat one home. So that's four Jane Chappell Hyams horses in 10 days who just haven't finished the race off.
But there was an 11-2 winner before that.
Yeah, that is true. That
sample
is true.
Size, selective.
Yeah,
I do respect what you're saying.
It's just a bit odd that they've not been beaten. They've all been battered, and they've just not finished their race.
Don't say that. I'd rather you didn't bring that up.
Sorry, mate. Sorry, me bringing it up is not going to stop.
No.
It may be happening. But I don't know. That's a concern. What did you make of Tulane?
I mean, she's a good filly. I think she might be a touch overrated, to be honest.
Yeah.
The precise reputation was very much come, well, she came down to earth, didn't she, beyond Blue Bolt. I just love the Duke of Cambridge form, essentially, as I've obviously alluded to. Of course, it wouldn't surprise you if she won, because I'm sure a lot of punters will look at this race and think, yeah, Tulane's a certainty, dropping to Group 3, because she almost won a Group 1. But you've got to remember that the Duke of Cambridge is essentially a Group 1 as well,
I think. Pretty much, yeah.
I think Blue Bolt is one of the best fillies in training. So
yeah, fair enough. Tulane should be 4-9, says Tommy Daniels. Whereas Big Sugar says fillies race with an odds-on shot pass. So again, there you go. And one more, just a quick word on: have we given up on Pina Sonata yet? I mean, she was smashed off the boards at Epsom. Would have hated those conditions, but I can't quite work out how good she is, Tom.
No, I don't know either. I mean, fundamentally, I don't think she's done enough to warrant fancying her to win this on what she's done, but she did look very good on the all-weather a couple of times. She's very well bred. I wouldn't absolutely rule out Sukanya either, who ran a little bit better than people think in the Coronation and actually beat Tulane in the what used to be called the Fred Darling at the start of the season anyway. So I think it's more open than the prices would suggest. I was quite keen on Contiki until you blew it with the Jane Chappell Hyams stat. But I still think I'd probably just side with her over the favourite. But look, Tulane's got a very good chance, hasn't she?
Okay, fair enough. And that's the Valiant Stakes as we go back to York for the York Stakes, where we have a fascinating little contest. Item, the three-year-old, is that 9-4 favourite, just ahead of Royal Champion, about 5-2. 3-1 Damasus, 11-2 Pride of Aris, and 12-1 Dancing Gemini then. For the York Stakes, an item who absolutely dotted up in the Dante and then was destroyed in the Derby. Comes back for another crack. 3-year-olds won from 18 in the past 20 years. So you don't get that many of them actually, again, rocking up and trying this. It's a bit like Tulane. It is a slightly odd move to a certain extent. Got Damasus, whose connections, Robbie, rather rarely came out and said, yeah, we've cocked up his campaign for the past 12 months. I quite enjoyed that honesty. You don't get much of that in racing.
No.
And then you have last year's winner, Royal Champion, who I don't know what's happened to him in the past 2 years, because he looks an absolute monster.
Yeah, he's turned into something a bit special. I mean, it all started in this race last year, really, didn't it? Where Cam was expected to take a huge amount of beating, and he absolutely broke the clock, and since then he hasn't looked back. His most recent run ties in with Masquerade Ball as well. We'll talk about the King George later. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a case of his preparation. Not seeing him in 90 days. Is he going to be fully fit? The £5 penalty I'm not particularly worried about, because he is the best horse in this field on the form we know. Item is favourite due to the fact that he could be very good still if you discount the Derby run. He obviously won the Dante very well here. But we're talking about this off before the show off air, and Royal Champion would be one that if you didn't back him and he won, you'd be kind of kicking yourself, because he just simply has the best form and he's got the course form as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, the front two both did have that course form, but obviously...
Yeah.
I don't know, again, it's just one of those things where you look at Royal Champion, again, he was stuck down the inside at Charting, and if you fancy Masquerade Ball to win a King George, then he's, you know, you've got a fancy Royal Champion for this. But also, he's battered Alma Cam, not only Alma Cam, but also Bay City Roller last year.
Yeah, it's a proper race, wasn't it?
He was third in the Irish Champion behind Delacroix and Anmar. Again, two absolute bomb-proof Group 1 horses. Again, it is just that 90-day absence, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You wonder the way Colbert's going to be campaigning him, but the fact that he's coming back to a race he won so well last year surely implies that he's going to be, you know, ready enough to do himself. It's a valuable pot for a Group 2. Of course, he's probably going to have more lucrative targets on his agenda down the line.
Well, I mean, surely, given if they've given him a bit of a break, he had a fairly busy season last year. Obviously, he's been globe-trotting as well. Mm. Surely, it's this and then the Judmon, right?
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, it could be a big price for the Judmon. He would definitely shorten right up. I'm not saying it'd beat Ombudsman and Constitution River by any means, but he could be one that slips under the radar, any post. If you do like him here, then that's probably worth a look, isn't it?
Yeah. So the 90-day absence might be a plan to keep him a bit fresher for the back end rather than a negative. All right. Can Royal Champion, as an 8-year-old, Tom, come back and beat them up in the York Stakes again?
Yeah, he did. Well, as you boys pointed out, he's got the best form. I don't get Item, really. I mean, I he would look good in the Dante, but that was a weird race. He beat Action at the end of the day, didn't he? All the others went on a different part of the track. Should he be 2-1? At the time, wasn't brilliant. I didn't fancy him in the Derby, whether it rained or not. I think this trip and track obviously suit him, but, you know, I don't know. These are proper good 4-year-olds he's up against here. Even Dancing Gemini at the bottom there. It's got some really good top Group 1 form, better than Items, than anything Items ever done. I think it's a tough task for Items, so I'd be against him. The penalty and the absence, I'm worried about Royal Champion. Pride of Arras is obviously interesting on his York form. I think he's 2 from 2 here, but how good the Dante and the Voltager were last year, I'm not sure. But he did beat Damasus in the Dante, didn't he? So I don't know, really. I thought Damasus might be the one, because I think he just looked better at the start of the season than he had done last year. He looked like he had a good turn of foot. He looked like he'd come on a lot. So given the doubts about Item and Royal Champion, I think Damasus might be the one, but it's a tricky race because you can make a case for all of them, even the outsider.
Yeah.
Although I'm not totally convinced a mile and a quarter on fast ground is what Dancing Gemini ideally wants.
No, I think you're probably right. But even then, he ran a lot better at Ascot than I thought he would do.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
And obviously Royal Champion. I mean, if he can come alive at 7, then you never know. There might be time on Dancing Gemini's side anyway. But yeah, it's a good race, and I think Royal Champion probably will win. But it is
tricky,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
It's just one of those York races, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
Any combination of result in this race at that track. If I look down at the results after the race and go, yeah, fair enough. Not massively surprised that happened.
Yeah. I'm just at the prices. I don't like Item. That's all. That's the thing. I think I just don't know how good he is. He went to Bath to win a race, didn't he? It's not like, you know, just that things don't add up with him. Maybe he's better. Maybe I'm being harsh on him, and maybe the Dante was a much better race than I gave it credit for. But I'm not convinced. I don't think Christmas Day was anywhere near his best that day.
Yeah, I would say that that Bath race was worth 11 grand to the winner, and the horse who you beat in second was Silver Ball winner Blue Cavassier, so it's possibly the best Bath race we've seen in 10
been
years.
Been a bit mean to Bath here, I think.
Say that again?
Been a bit mean to Bath.
Oh, no, well, no, it's just that one race, isn't it?
Yeah, just not the actual city. Gorgeous place.
Gorgeous place,
I can also reveal that Royal Champion is 25-1 for the job, Mont, if that appealed to you.
There you go.
Potentially each way, because there's probably only going to be 6 runners.
Yeah, yeah, it won't be a huge field, will
it? I mean, he's probably not ombudsman level, is he? But he's a very good horse.
No, but...
That's kind of a sneaky each way we like. The Geffen one we had, didn't we?
Yeah, what was the 100-odd... What was the horse that... Bell, what was the horse name?
Burr Castle. Bell Castle.
Right, yeah, I mean, he's a better horse than him, isn't he?
Oh, of course he is,
absolutely blind last year.
I mean, it's 5-1 for him to finish in the 3, isn't it?
So, yeah, fair enough.
It's up to you.
Bell's still enjoying the thrill of watching the only person in the entire race course last year at York to back... The pacemaker. It's a cracking race, says Viper. Wouldn't back Damasus at any price, says King Eric of Cantona. And Damasus for Viper as well. Let's go back to Ascot, shall we, for one of the biggest races of the year in terms of betting. There's loads of these big field 7-furlong Ascot handicaps, and unfortunately Paul Keighley isn't with us this evening, because this is the kind of race where he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go through the form for this. I mean, he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Not deliberately.
That's beside the point.
He'd rather be asleep, I think.
yeah, that's not his choice. Extremely Zane is 2-1 though, the favourite here. 11-2 Mezcala, 13-2 Amazing Journey, Back in Black 15-2, Completely Random 17-2, 14-1 Acadian Thunder, and then a much bigger the rest. But again, there's quite a few bigger prices you could make cases for. But again, this is pretty much the same thing I've been saying all show, Tom. But it is odd to have a horse with this profile at the top of the betting. You know, 3-year-olds in this very, very rare, especially 3-year-olds who are 3 from 3. It's clearly a very progressive horse. Group horse in a handicap and all that, and as Keel said in his column earlier in this week, these big handicaps are going to more obvious, well-fancied, progressive, upwardly mobile horses like Extremely Zane, but my God, he's a short price.
It's ridiculously short price, that, for me. You know, and also, you've got to remember, this is Ascot. Ascot's very different from York. Mm. It's a completely different game. It's a completely different standard of horse he's up against. He's £8 higher, and he did look very good. But I don't know, what price was he to win at York?
He was 2-1 to win at York as well. So
he was 2-1 to win at York. This is a much better race, and he's £8 than that. Look, he can win. Of course he can. No one knows how good he is. But it's an Ascot handicap where funny things happen. And for me, 2-1 is extremely short, especially because I personally think Mezcala's a group horse too in a handicap. And I'm pretty sure Completely Random is as well. And, you know, and they've got good, solid Ascot form. As has the other 3-year-old Amazing Journey, who I'm sure we'll come on to later. But I don't know, 2-1, not for me, Ross. But then, as you say, I'll come back from watching Reading play Woking in the big friendly of the day, and I will look on my phone and I'll see Extremely Zane first at 15-8, and think, oh well, there we go again.
Yeah, yeah, and then he'll probably end up in the. Oh, my brain's completely gone. The foray or something by the end of the season. It'll be a 10-1 for the foray or something. You'll think, oh God, I should have smashed into him at 2-1. But the wise guy horse around the office in this race, are you on the amazing journey wagon as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I always like to have a look at these early closers, like before Monday, before the field cuts up.
Yeah.
And I was convinced that Amazing Journey was like 50-1.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. And I was convinced that this wouldn't get in, like anywhere near, because it was like 63rd on the list. So I was like, I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
But then, like, looking back, it's like, if you get ballot out and declared, you get your money back. Like, yeah, it was moronic.
Yeah, but there's so many places you could put your money when you're looking at those races that you probably did think, well, it's not even worth the...
Yeah, exactly.
The risk,
it's
is it?
It's true, yeah. I'm trying to cut down my anti-post non-runners because I've had too many over the years.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the main danger you've got, isn't it?
Exactly.
You can be as clever as you like. You can get the price, but if you refresh the page on declarations,
it's worth the risk ultimately. But yeah, a lot of love his profile. I think he was Tom's 2 for the tracker horses Saturday as well.
Yep.
So there's a lot of love for our friend Amazing Dream, And is it, what's his name?
Amazing Journey.
Amazing
yep.
Journey.
Sorry, he's yeah. short enough now, though, Robbie, isn't he? 6 to
yeah,
one.
He is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got on at 12s at the start of the week. I said, he's different now. I think you think you probably leave him now, didn't you? But just touch back on Extremely Zane. He's at lowest on top speed figures in the whole field.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, he just looks desperately short. I thought Back in Black will also run well. He's been knocking on the door, and he's one of those, a bit like Strat as straight as nine, that just richly deserves one of these. He's running the Bunbury Cup is huge.
Yeah.
It's very hard on the July course to go from sort of last to first in the space of half a furlong, and he did that.
Especially when he was kind of isolated as well. The other four or five were sort of over there, and he came down.
Yeah, the Ian Williams horses, yeah, they're separated from him. So I think that was a huge run. He's obviously well in as well.
I mean, he's the other, him and Stratus 9 in the old place.
Yeah, he's just going to run his race, isn't he? Like, he can back up. He's done that before. It's only 2 weeks later. I wouldn't be bothered by that. I mean, Ascot 7 furlong should be perfect for him, shouldn't it?
Yep. He's placed at the track. I mean, he's placed. You could run him in anything.
Yeah,
and he'd run the same race.
So I think
part of me worries because he is a. You start to think, is he a bit of a twicer kind of thing? But then these kind of horses, they're running such competitive races that it's monstrous runs to finish in the first four every time anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You put him in a normal 7 furlong handicap at Wolverhampton or whatever, and then he'll show how good he is, and then get a £10 rise. But he's not been getting those rises because he's not been winning these races.
Yeah.
Maybe the cards will fall right. I don't know.
I mean, he's still racking up £10,000 a race minimum anyway for finishing second or third.
He's paying his way, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I like the horse. I think he deserves a change. I think he's put up an RPR of 103 there, and he's running off 94. So yeah. That tells you he's well treated. And I think Ascot should probably suit him better than Newmarket.
So they're your two then?
Yeah, they're my two.
Amazing Journey and Back in Black. Yeah, and again, I think the two Fanshawe horses interest me. One is Back in Black. The one I couldn't believe the price of. I did look at Philanthropist at 40 to 1 and think, really? Again, I'm not entirely convinced he's good enough to win a race at this, but I think he's going to run a big race. Yeah. Again, he was slightly isolated at Newmarket on the other side. He's just got a really bomb-proof profile, 7 furlong. Turf handicaps. His record in 7 furlong turf handicaps is 4th, 5th, 1st, 3rd, 4th. Mm. He's a strong traveller. He's got course form. He was in that sort of Back in Black shout, all those kind of form lines last year. Is he good enough? I don't know.
But you get five places, isn't you?
You get 5 places and he's sort of 40-50
to 1.
Exactly. I think Back in Black and him are the two proper Fanshawe Ascot handicappers.
Nice.
Who run well.
I like it.
So yeah, they'd be the two for me. What about you, Tom?
Mezcala. All over Mezcala. I think he's just his form this year is absolutely top class. He should have won all three, I think. He should have won the Silver Lincoln, he should have won the Spring Cup, and he did win the Buckingham. Well, he did win the Silver Cup, the Silver Lincoln. Should have won the Spring Cup, and he's won the Buckingham Palace, I think 7 furlongs, fast ground. Only went up £4. I thought he was miles the best at Ascot last time. I think he's got a massive chance at a huge price. I give a shout out to the outsider of the whole field, Sword, who I thought should have won this race last year. The winner was Two Tribes, went on to win the Stewards' Cup. The second was Classic, who's gone up about however many pounds since then. It's won loads of big races, including the Spring Cup. Sword should have won it last year. He was drawn to at 22. He switched all around the track. He was closing at the line. He was only beaten a length and a half. He's off the same mark. He ran very well at York 2 starts ago, but I mean, again, a ready run last time. And at about 66 to 1, I thought he had a chance too. My main one is Mezcala, but I'll have a few quid each way on the outside of the whole field.
All right, lovely stuff. Thank you very much. Now, let's look at the feature event then of the day and possibly the summer. The King George Weller lineup, as we said, at the top of the show. 7-4, Calandagan, 4-1, Masquerade Ball, 11-2, Benvenito, Cellini, 6-1, Mini Hawk, Goliath 10s, 11s, Calpana, and then 50s Bar with Wurttemberg, Lamborn, and Action in the mix as well. You've got last year's winner, you've got the year before's winner, you've got the Irish Derby winner, who's obviously an unbeaten 3-year-old this year. You've got Mini Hawk coming out of the Ombudsman race, and you've got Masquerade Ball, who might well have beat Calandagan if things had gone his way, and might well have beat Romantic Warrior as well if he got going a little bit earlier. So, yeah, brilliant lineup, Tom. I mean, the Hardwick, we said, was a proper Group 1 mile and a half race at Royal Ascot, and it's nice to see this division continue into the big race tomorrow. How do you see it unfolding?
How do I see it unfolding? That's a good question, Ross. It is an absolute tremendous race, isn't it? I don't know how they're going to play this, Ballydoyle. because I don't think they're going to want to go massively hard, because massively hard races suit Callahan again, don't they? His style of running, or suit Masquerade Ball, his style of running. I don't think they're going to want to go really, really hard and make it a last man standing race, because that'll suit the two at the top of the market. I think they'll want to go sort of an even gallop and hope that Benvenuto or Mini Hawk is sort of a couple of lengths, two or three lengths in front, and get the drop on the two fancied ones at the top. That's how I'd run the race. If that's the case, I think Mini Hawk has an excellent chance of winning, because I think she has the second best form behind Caland again. I think her run last time was an excellent run in the Prince of Wales's. I think she can be upgraded on that run. I thought she was a little bit keen to begin with, and she chased the two pacemakers for half a mile and still rallied to be second. I think that she's got Ascot form. She'll love the step up to a mile and a half. Much prefer her to her stablemate, although I'm not as anti the stablemate as everyone else seems to be, Benvoluti Cellino. You just don't know how good he is. So I would give him a each way shot as well. But it's just all about Calandagan at the end of the day. But just, he's six now. Can he be as good as he was last year? I don't know. He's definitely not as good in what he's done in his three runs this year as he was last year. If he runs to the level he ran last year when he just got the better of Cal Palmer, I don't think he'll win.
I will step in though and say he's five. He's not six.
Is he five? Yeah, is he so five?
Still,
sorry.
That's still fairly... He's still in sort of, you know, is peak he? I'm, race or so.
Sorry, my fault. But if he runs to the level he did last year when he just got the better of Cal, I don't think he'll win, because I think this is a better race than that. So he's got to be Ombudsman Japan Cup level form.
He might be.
Don't know. I think the race might be run to suit Mini Hawk. She'd be my fancy. Very scared of the Japanese horse. Don't know enough about her, about him, just not my hemisphere. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know enough about him. Clearly, the Japan Cup form is outstanding. He clearly got a chance to be better than that. He ran very well in Hong Kong. Don't know enough about him, but I like Mini Hawk in this. I think she's just got everything going for her in terms of the way the race is going to be run, the trip, the track, and the preparation, whereas I can't be sure about the rest.
Yeah, okay, so Mini Hawk for you. I'm quite tempted by Masquerade Ball. I'm again watching... It's a monstrous run last time, actually.
Yeah, I just think he's arriving off a brilliant prep.
Yeah.
The perfect prep. Not too hard a race over 10 furlongs, massive eye-catching off a slow pace. Romantic Warrior, obviously, an absolute boss in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's very closely matched with Calandagan, the Japan Cup run.
Yeah.
I identified him as an anti-post bet for this after Calandagan flopped at Epsom, because at that point, I wasn't even sure that Calandagan was going to run it.
Yeah.
He's come out and won the race in France, did well to win that, in fairness, because it was slowly run. It wasn't really run suit, and he still got up, but... Yeah, I mean, you look at his figures, they haven't been as imperious as last season. So I'm seeing a potential vulnerability there. This race is an awful lot stronger than last season. I couldn't have Cal Palmer, for instance, who was second in this last year.
Well, I mean, you've got Masquerade, but I mean, obviously, you know, Goliath, Mini Hawk, Benvenuto Cellino, and Masquerade Ball are all better horses than Jan Brueghel and... You know, no offence to Rebels Romance, but, you know, an ageing Rebels Romance.
Yeah.
They are a much better middle class, as it were.
Definitely, yeah. I don't understand the people like her. And I think Kalanick, I think the winner's going to have to run to sort of 130 RPR sort of territory. I think it's that strong.
Yeah.
And what did Kalanick run, like 125 last year in this? Oh, 128, actually, to be fair. I think, like Tom said, I think he's going to have to prove on that form. And it's a belt. I get the Mini Hawk case as well. Definitely prefer her to Benvenuto Cellino. But you do, again, playing devil's advocate, you've got to respect that Ryan Moore's riding him over her. That is quite interesting.
And to be fair, look, I mean, you say about it, if you have to say you have to run to 128, Calandagan is capable of that.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that. Masquerade Ball is capable of that. We know that.
Yep.
Benvenuto Cellino only needs to improve half a stone, and he's a three-year-old, and we've barely seen him. He's capable of that. And Mini Hawk has only run, once over a mile and a half since... second in the arc, and she's still only a four-year-old, so she's probably capable of that. So you've got four horses who are genuinely capable of running to 128.
And they're special. And then you've even got Goliath, who's brilliant in this 2 years ago, who could well have won the Hardwick last time if Christophe Soumillon didn't lose his irons.
Yeah.
He's definitely a place player, I'd say.
Yeah. But it ruins the narrative if he's the giant killer. He can't be the giant killer. Yeah. It won't work. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's a great race, isn't it? So
I love it.
You're on the Masquerade Ball wagon.
I wish I had a mask that I could put on now.
But you've got a ball.
But I've got the ball at least.
That's your face. That's what your face will be if Masquerade Ball wins the.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I'm at a barbecue tomorrow.
There you go.
I don't know if it's going to be a phone job. That's not the same, is it? For a race that big, you want a plasma screen or be there.
Or you want to get home, don't know the result, watch the replay from the start, and just
that's
enjoy
nice,
it fresh.
Isn't it? Just record ITV and watch it like that, not just on your phone on like the replay service.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. Nah. Not quite the same. And you're a mini hawk man, then, Tom.
Yeah, I am at the prices, yes, for sure.
All right, okay, lovely stuff. Right, that's the King George. Clandergan hasn't been the same since he won the Japan Cup, says King Eric of Cantona. Masquerade Ball for natural born Diller. I'm on Clandergan at 5-2, but I don't trust it, says Big Shug. Interesting. All over Mini Hawk, definitely would appreciate the 1-mile-4 trip, says Stephen Hughes. Could see Clandergan closing like the winner, but Mini Hawk digging in and getting back up, says Jim Stan. And Destiny Sound says, call me crazy, man, happy's Ben Benito Cellini. Aidan's comparison to Galeo to miss. Just very quickly, let's just end on your thoughts on Benvenuto Cellini, because you were saying about Derby winners always come here. I mean, obviously, ignore Epsom, that was a farce, we know. But a Derby horse has come here for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic that he's coming here. The problem is you look back to the days when all those fantastic Derby horses we mentioned ran here. They weren't running against Clandergan, Masquerade Ball, Mini Hawk and Goliath and Kalpana. There might be one or two good older horses, but not probably the four or five best in the world. I mean, it's hard to think. You know, the best in Japan, you've got the best in France, bar Darius, you could perhaps throw in there. You've got the best in Ireland, and you've got the best in England, probably. Maybe Gia Veloso could go in there as well. So it's hard for him. It's going to be hard for him. You have to be a superstar to be all of them, I think. You know, because going back to the days, you know, they weren't beating horses of this caliber, I don't think.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, okay. That's just about wraps up the show then. Again, there's loads more going on tomorrow. And of course, don't forget to join us every night, Monday through till Friday next week, for glorious Goodwood previews at 6:30. I have to tell you that because the last race at Goodwood is 5:55 for a lot of the days next week. So we will be here at 6:30. So sorry, Robbie, you're going to be...
I'm not going to have dinner till after 8 o'clock, am I? All right. It's fine. You live down the road.
You're going to be a mess.
I look forward to it.
Right, let's get the naps, shall we? Can be in the races we talked about today, or can be elsewhere. Mr. Robbie Wilders, what's the best bet for you?
Do you know what, Ross? I'm pretty bullish, despite you scaring me with this Jappel Haim spiel. I'm going to stick with Contiki. That's the one I stand to win the most from in the Valiant Stakes.
All right, fair enough. Contiki it is. Ignore me. It's a good advice. Tom?
Mezcala, for me, definitely.
All right, there's Carlo in the international. I'm going to go to the 4 o'clock at Newcastle. How's that sound?
Nothing.
Make your case for us.
I think the favourite's potentially a little bit weak, and one of my favourite horses it's again, horses, of course, on that. A horse called Kalyanassa of Brian Ellison's, who ran an absolute stormer at Royal Ascot, and then was sent off favourite a week later at Newcastle. All her races, she needs time between her races. She bounced completely off that. But she's mustered at Newcastle, and I've still got the note. She just ran so well at Royal Ascot, and she's about 3 or 4 times the price than she was when she got beat last time out. So.
14 to 1, 4 places.
There you go.
Sounds all right.
I'll take it. All right. Best of luck on Saturday, and we will, of course, see you next week. It's going to be a good one, so make sure you get a nice, refreshing sleep on Sunday night and prepare for glorious Goodwood. But enjoy Saturday first. Goodbye.